Hell Yes Life, episode 42. Welcome to the Hell Yes Life podcast, the show that helps you come alive so you can live a hell yes life. I'm your host, Norman Bell. Hey there, welcome to another episode of the Hell Yes Life podcast. I am your host, Norman Bell. I hope you are doing great today. This is the place to hear inspiring stories and actionable tips from our amazing guests that will motivate you to live your Hell Yes Life. The Hell Yes Life podcast releases new episodes every Tuesday, and now with increasing frequency on Thursdays and Fridays. Hell Yes Lifers, if you want to write a review, please visit hellyeslife.com/HYLiTunes. Also, if you've been listening to the Hell Yes Life podcast and you're getting inspired by our guests and you're starting to think, hey, I want to live my Hell Yes Life, then I've got good news for you. Right now on hellyeslife.com, you can sign up for a free 5-part video mini course that will walk you through the 5 steps to a Hell Yes Life. This course will help you find your Hell Yes, create your cringeworthy vision, build your Hell Yes Day, plan your first Hell Yes action, and more. If you're ready to jumpstart your Hell Yes Life, then head over to hellyeslife.com right now. Okay, let's get into today's episode. Hell Yes Lifers, today my guest is Brenna Hindman. Brenna is a consultant, speaker, and advisor to startups, founders, and influencers who draws on more than 2 decades of experience as a former semi-professional athlete and leader in health and wellness. She is certified in neuro-linguistic programming, NLP, and is a hypnotherapy practitioner, and has studied for 7 years with shamans in South America and globally. Hell Yes Lifers, today I'm offering up a new kind of episode. It's called HYL Stories. I had a conversation with Brenna a few weeks ago, and she told me a story about something that happened to her in her life that completely changed her perspective on everything. I thought it might be worth sharing her story with you. So for this episode, Brenna tells her story, and then I ask some questions afterwards. Please go to the contact page on hellyeslife.com and let me know what you think about this format. And if you've got a story to tell about a moment that changed your life, please let me know that as well. Without further ado, here's Brenna Hindman.
So when I was in college, I had the opportunity to study abroad on semester at sea. It's a college program on a cruise ship, a pretty large cruise ship with about 700 college students that circumnavigates the globe and stops at 10 ports of call, so 10 different countries. And it's an extraordinary opportunity. So before I left on the trip, my friends threw me a bon voyage party, and I was so excited, except for the one thing that I told all of them, that I just didn't want to die like on the Titanic. So little did I know I'd get the chance to experience that in some ways. Our trip left from Vancouver, Canada, and we were on our way to Korea. And I'm from Colorado, so I thought being instantly seasick, getting on a ship was normal. But apparently, the time of year that we were crossing the ocean, and the part of the ocean that we were crossing in the Pacific was quite rough. And what ended up happening is day 14, as we had just crossed the international dateline, a 65-foot rogue wave broke the bridge window of the ship where the engines are and killed the engines. And we later found out we were then stuck between 2 hurricane weather systems. So this was literally my worst nightmare happening. And they asked all of us to go to the deck with the lifeboats and to sit in the hallway. And, you know, it was really interesting to observe all of the different reactions and responses to what was going on. Some people were laughing. It was someone's birthday. I remember they were singing happy birthday. I was crying as I looked around. There were professors and their families. There were young children as well and older passengers. And I knew that we were in grave danger. So out of necessity, I thought I would lose my mind. I closed my eyes and I started to just contemplate what I was experiencing. And also at the same time, the angle of the ship that we're on was rocking so intensely that we would look out the window and it would go from sky to ocean and sky to ocean. And we were sitting on carpet in the hallway, but the angle was so steep that we'd slide from one end of the hallway and you didn't stop until you ran into kids on the other side. So I closed my eyes and started to breathe deeply. And I didn't know what meditation was or visualizing or anything like that at the moment. In fact, I wasn't thinking about that. But I just started to breathe deep just as a way to kind of try and calm myself. And so my mind started to move through the spinning and the churning. And I started to think about all the experiences. I got to review my life in slow motion. And at that time, I was 21. So I never thought about the fact that everyone does die at some point. This had not crossed my mind at all. So I was having a lot of denial around that. A lot of anger that it wasn't fair. A lot of fear. This is literally the one way that I didn't want things to end. And a lot of sadness, realizing that that I hadn't really lived. You know, at 21, it was at that moment waking up, seeing my movie, my life movie, passing me by and realizing I hadn't even done anything. It's as if I'd been sleepwalking for most of my life. And in this last moment, I just realized that I'd missed out. So in that moment, as I started to come to grips with, I had no control and I had no choice, which was very, very upsetting, I started to visualize, and out of desperation, I decided to talk to God. And this isn't about religion or anything. It was just the one thing that I could think of in that moment, that if I have no control and nobody else does, and everything's out of my hands, then this is my Hail Mary pass. So it was something like, you know, "Dear God, it's me, Brenna. I know we haven't talked in a while. Ever." Sorry about that. And I just started to have this conversation, asking myself some really tough questions, like, well, do I really want to live? Because now I'm at this point where I don't even know if I get that chance. So if I do I want to? And the answer was a very clear yes. I hadn't wanted anything more in my entire life. And so I knew I wanted to live. And then it flowed into, well, if I want to live, what does it mean to me? If I get another chance, what am I going to do with it? What do I want to experience? What am I going to contribute? And so I started to dive deeper into this thought process. At the same time, I was visually and energetically yelling out to the universe, "If anyone can hear me, I need help." So it was this sense of prayer and also desperation that I knew this was not in my hands. And if I was going to believe in anything in that moment, I really wanted to live so badly. It didn't matter if it was aliens or God or the universe that came to help me. I just knew at this moment that it was not something I could change at that time. And so I was also very aware of my physical space. I was not aware of anyone else on the ship. It's as if time and space transformed, and I felt like I was completely alone, like in a silent room, not aware of the rocking anymore, but I was viscerally aware in my body. I could feel the air as I took a breath moving into my lungs from the inside out. Because I really wondered if each breath I took might be my last. And so there was this immense sense of presence and aliveness. My body felt on fire, but also gratitude and maybe a little drama too, that it really might be my last breath. So I was feeling and sensing and experiencing every single thing in each moment, because it was all I had. And so I started to think about what would it mean to me to get another chance. And out of desperation, I'm like, okay, I'm going to negotiate with God. You know, I've got this. So I said, okay, God, if you let me live, I will spread the word of God for the rest of my life. And I stopped and I thought about this, and I went visual and I played a movie forward of me in the future. And the picture that popped up was me being like a Bible thumper. And in that moment, to my complete dismay, I realized I don't want to do that. I cannot make this promise, not only to myself, but if there is anything, I don't want to feel guilty for the rest of my life. If I even get to live, I would have said anything in that moment if I knew that I could have lied or just said it to say it. But what I realized was I had to dig deeper and go, no, I have to understand for myself, what does it really mean to me to get another chance? And what do I truly want to experience with this opportunity? And so I sat with that a little bit longer and I came to some new agreements. I wanted to experience as much as I could the range of emotions and the experiences of life. And I wanted to make the most of myself and to contribute through my gifts and experiences. And I wanted to love deeply, to be loved and to give love. And as I got clear on these agreements, the one thing that had really been bothering me is I had felt like I didn't have a choice. And a choice to me is like, okay, basically at this point it was, you're just going to die. and that was upsetting. It wasn't totally acceptable to me. But at the same time, I didn't feel like I had a choice. But in this moment that I came to these new agreements for myself, one single choice bubbled up to the surface, and it was an immense relief. And that choice was, you can accept your circumstances or you can resist. And though I didn't prefer the choice, I didn't like it, at least I had one, and there was something so powerful in that moment. And so what it came down to was I realized, okay, well, obviously I want to live. So the thing that I'm really resisting is accepting the fact that I may die. So can I find some sort of acceptance in that very stark, very real possibility? And what that came down to was, for me, understanding what it means to surrender. And so then I had to ask myself, what does that mean, letting go? Is it giving up? Like, what does surrender mean to me? And so I sat with that. I struggled with it a little bit longer. And then I realized that I had felt an immense amount of faith. I had an incredible desire to live. I'd gotten clear on what it meant to me. And I also realized that part of this was totally not in my hands. And so I decided that I was ready to accept that if this was my time to go, not my preference, but if it was my time, then I could accept that. I sent out a little caveat to the universe. There were 700 other kids. So I said, you know, I don't think it's just me, but there's 700 young souls here, and I really don't think it's all of our time. And if it is, then I accept. And the moment that I made that decision, this visceral wave of calm washed through me, and I knew in an instant that we were going to be okay. And I also had this flash of insight, and I saw myself in the ship, and the ship in the ocean, and the ocean on Earth, I guess, or the globe. And then my mind blew open to galaxies. It was as if I could see like those old clocks with the cogs turning. Everything was in perfect motion and harmony, and everything was intricately interconnected, and there was so much more going on than we can normally tangibly see and experience. And I was incredibly humbled by the fact that we could be crushed in an instant by nature, by water. That was very humbling. And how in the big scheme of things, in time and also space, how insignificant we are. We're not even a blip on the radar of time. And how precious life is. And when we remember what we're connected to, right, we're all a part of this universal ecosystem. We are powerful beyond measure, and we forget that. It's really quite silly. And so it took us another 4 or 5 days to get to the closest landmass. The crew had to manpower the engines. There was still a lot of fear, a lot of turbulence, and they were able to take us to Hawaii and told us to go Welcome to your first cultural port. Go learn. None of us went and did any learning. I'm pretty sure we all partied and laid on the beach, but it was an incredible experience. They were able to assess the damage on the ship, decide that they could continue academically, but had to fly us to another couple of countries. They flew us to China, then to Vietnam, fixed the ship, met us in Vietnam, and we kept going. And it was the most extraordinary experience of my life.
Wow. Thank you for sharing that, Brenna. That is an amazing story. And when I heard it a few weeks ago, I just I thought to myself, hey, this would be a great story to share with our listeners. So thank you for, you know, kind of putting yourself out there and sharing that. I want to ask you a few follow-up questions about that. One, I just kind of writing down some notes as you were talking there. Did you see the 65-foot wave?
I didn't. It happened around 6:30 in the morning. So we were sleeping. And directly afterwards, the dean got on the intercom to announce that we needed to go to the deck of the lifeboats. And he had witnessed it and he sounded terrified. So you could feel the fear in his voice.
Yeah, I can imagine. That sounds terrifying. And some of the other details that you had there about, like, you know, going from sky to sea to sky to sea sounds, yeah, absolutely terrifying. That nobody would wish to be in a situation like that. But you had something kind of transforming come out of that. Can you take us, basically you had kind of a near-death experience without having, an official NDE experience where you left your body and so forth. But you did have kind of that moment. Can you take us to that moment again? Because I'm always curious. I want to spend more time talking to people who have had near-death experiences, because if anybody knows what's going on, maybe they do, right? So you actually saw this sort of bigger picture thing. Can you take us a little bit more into that?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah. The NDE thing. I didn't leave my body and look back on my body, but I do think that I did some space traveling, because I was searching far beyond my physical space and that moment for a solution and for any sort of help, whatever that really means. So I would say I did leave my body, which is unique because there was no like trauma or injury. It was just out of a deep necessity to go find help, because I knew that I couldn't do it. So I do feel like I did leave. And perhaps it was that in that opening that allowed me, when I chose to have that moment of surrender, to have shifted something in my mind, in my heart, to allow me to experience what I felt was like the big picture. I'd always, since I was a kid, asked, what's the meaning of life? I think a lot of people ask that. Now I think it's kind of a silly question. But for me, and maybe because I was so concrete before I left on this trip, concrete is in very black and white about my views about life. This is the right way. This is the wrong way. I was an athlete, very competitive type A, that not that I deserve this, right? And I'm here to tell a story, so I think it's very powerful and it's positive, and nobody needs to learn through doing experiences like this. But maybe because I was so concrete, I needed that stark contrast for me as an individual to understand that there's so much more going on. And I hope that through sharing this story, other people can get that. They obviously don't need to go have dramatic experiences like this to understand the lesson.
Yeah, I don't think anybody's going to be hopping on a boat saying, hey, do you think this is going to get in a big storm? Because I really want to have an experience like Brenna's. But we get to at least hear some of your insights about that. And so to ask about that, so since then, how has that changed your life? What have you gone on to do since then? And what do you want us to take away from that story?
Yeah. Oh my gosh. That was really just, I'd say that my first awakening. Maybe I'm a bit of a slow learner, but what it did for me is open me up to this whole realm of intangible sensations. I'm not kidding when I said I felt a visceral wave of calm wash through me. It was like needing or having that affirmation of faith. But the truth is, first I had to have faith, and then I got the, I guess, affirmation, so to speak. But it opened a doorway for me to go explore more of what had been really intangible to me, like things that, you know, I thought intuition, people are born with it or they're not. like this ability to sense things that are not so definitive or concrete. Like, for example, you know, before we could prove what gravity was, apples have been falling from trees forever. But it doesn't mean that gravity didn't exist. It's always been there, right? So there's these things that have always been there in our environment, in what we call reality, that aren't visible and tangible. And I'd had an experience of that. And so I went and studied Reiki, which is a form of energy work. I studied with all kinds of healers and other energy workers. I ended up studying with shamans for 7 years in South America and globally, and was able to integrate that sort of learning and more of my tangible framework through NLP or neuro-linguistic programming, which I use as a coaching modality. So it's helped me tie together an intangible and energetic framework with more of a science-based framework, if I can call it that. So what do I want listeners to take away from the story is, well, first of all, no matter your circumstances, you always have a choice. It may not be your preference, but you always have a choice, and there's immense power in that. And to that life is a gift. You know, nothing is guaranteed, not tomorrow, not this afternoon even. And so to keep things in perspective, to focus on what you want, because that will really expand in your life. And I think that we're here to live for ourselves in the sense of we choose our experiences. Life to me is about creating yourself. And so if you're noticing that you're not enjoying what you are creating, or in other words, what's around you in your reality and your life, then you can always choose something differently.
Yeah, big stuff in there. So what do you, again, coming back to that moment of insight that you had, and you kind of did leave your body as you were describing and saw that bigger picture, really bigger picture view. What do you think's I just love talking about this kind of stuff. So what do you think's going on here? You know, like, you know, a lot of us take our lives for granted. Oh yeah, we're human beings on planet Earth. Yep. We go around the sun. But like, what is all that? You know, so do you think there's a God, or did it feel like there was some sort of, you know, force that's directing all this, or, you know, did you get that sense out of it, or what?
That's a good question. I think people can call things whatever they want, like whatever metaphor or story works for them. You know, for a while when I was trying to explain myself, it would be like, you can call it God, spirit, universe, like there's a whole list. So just, you know, people can call it what they want or not what they want. Again, you know, but for me, what I, let me try to explain that is it made me realize that we're connected to everything in a much larger way. We like to look at things that are alive and say, well, this is what life is, and this is what is real, and this is what isn't. But I think an ecosystem is, if I need to put it in a more like tangible way, is a good way to frame it. Like literally everything relies on everything else. You know, you can think about the butterfly effect. If we eliminate all the bees, there's going to be massive environmental consequences to that. You know, the movement of oceans from stars and planets, like there's a lot more going on that we might feel the effect of, but that we in science haven't, or technology haven't been able to associate yet. But it doesn't mean the links aren't there. So whether it's that everything is alive, or everything is conscious, or everything is interconnected, or there's a God, or you want to talk about the law of attraction, anything, I think it's all valid. Again, it's, to me, this is a choose your own adventure. So if that sort of framework serves you in creating the life that you want and who you want to be as a person and how you want to experience living, then by all means choose it. If it's like, you know, if I want to think that everyone is bad in the world, that is my choice. And my reality will reflect that. But personally, I don't see how that would help me be happier at the end of the day.
Mm-hmm. Good stuff to think about. You know, I think that you've been given a gift in some ways, you know, being kind of like starkly reminded, or, you know, like you were right there on the edge of your life. You thought that you, you know, perhaps were not going to make it in that situation. Right. Mm-hmm. And of course, nobody wishes a situation like that on themselves, and it not to romanticize something like that. But I feel like some of the, you know, what a lot of us, go through is that we feel like we're going to live forever, you know, or there's no real sense. We all know we're going to die, but we don't live like that. We don't live like life is precious. You know, it's just sort of like, oh God, another day. I got to go to work. Oh geez, I've got all these responsibilities. So I think, you know, it's really powerful to hear a story like that. And if there's anything we can do to live our lives without having an experience like that, I think, you know, we would be all the better for it. I would just, tell me a little bit about your time studying with, shamans in, South America. What did you get out of that? What did you study?
Yes. So I would say that sort of worked, helped me create a more tangible understanding of the experience that I had that you were just asking me to explain, because I didn't know, does that mean there is God? Like, should I go be like completely religious now? Did I make a promise, even though I was trying to joke, well, not joke, but negotiate with God about now, even though I said it, like, do I have to go fulfill that in some way? Like, what does this mean for me? And so, I was there working with shamans as a way to understand what had become important to me as an energy framework. And, that sense of how things are intricately and holistically and infinitely connected was very fascinating to me as someone, again, who'd been incredibly concrete and black and white before. It literally blew my mind open to how much more is going on. And it was something that I couldn't deny. And so I needed to, for myself, go educate myself on what that meant for me, and how I might be able to harness, direct, share the knowledge and experience that I had, because for a long time I was unable to articulate this experience really to myself, which means I couldn't have been able to share this story even 2 years ago, in a more meaningful way. And so my time with shamans was helping me integrate and expand into what I guess I'd call my own sense of power and sense of self. To understand where I fit into the larger picture of what I'd experienced.
Awesome. Awesome stuff. A really interesting kind of trajectory that you've had since that experience. And sounds like it really shaped your life going forward there. What else should we know about you, about what you're up to now?
Oh gosh. Let's see. What should I share? You know, I'm a big advocate for people being true to themselves. I think what I found through that is, life is, we're here to enjoy ourselves. We're here to have fun and find fulfillment through experiencing, through expanding ourselves, through finding a sense of contribution. We tend to do things that make us feel good, which there's nothing wrong with that. Like, there's all this guilt around being selfish. And yes, there's an extreme on that. But to me, we're here on an individual journey in a very stark way. We come into life alone and we leave alone. And so, you know, to just be honest with yourself about what life means to you and what really fills you up and what gives you joy, and to go pursue those things. And that's what I'm doing in my life. And I hope that through some of the avenues where I do coaching or consulting work or business development and advising startups and connecting people, that's a real passion of mine, is through this sense of relationship and connectedness, people remember that they're never alone, that we're all in this together, and that you being the best version of you is such a gift, because there is literally no one like you with the innate talents that you have. And if you don't go express them and share them, who will?
Awesome. Awesome thoughts. I'm going to ask a couple of questions that I would typically ask in a regular interview. And one is, What's your big vision going forward, if you have one? Some people don't. Some people are just kind of, really focused on what they have right in front of them. But I call this your cringeworthy vision, kind of a vision so big that you cringe just thinking about sharing it with other people. Do you have a big vision like that? Something that you would really love to do going forward?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Thanks for asking. My vision is to create what I'm calling or coining the warmest network in the world. And again, I think that the sense of loneliness and disconnection comes from forgetting, thinking that we're small and forgetting what we're connected to, not only ourselves, but the bigger picture. And so my intention is to, through my businesses, my own contributions, and being a beacon or a leader myself, is to transform loneliness one meaningful relationship at a time through the business connections, through the philanthropy, and just again, through being a leader, showing other people what's possible when they step outside of themselves and go pursue the things that light them up.
Love it. Love it. Well, hey, I want to be in the warmest network in the world. So count me in for that, Brenna.
Awesome.
Can you, as we wrap up here, can you give us one tip or a quote or resource that has helped you, as you've gone through this experience that you would like to share with our listeners?
Yes. So what I've found is through whatever experience we have, the hardest part, we all know when we're not doing something right or it's not working, but the intellectual knowing doesn't, if we knew what we were doing, we would do something different. And so a very practical, I'm going to call it a triangle that's applicable to, I think, everything and everyone, is to look at the changes you want to make in your life, whether it's in business, in a fitness goal, in a financial goal, a relationship goal, is to look at these three elements and be really honest with yourself about where you need to contribute a little more. And so the top of the triangle is investment. Then the one side is consistency. And the other one is commitment. And when you put these three together in the middle, that's where you get exponential results. And so I think that, all the spiritual learning and the energetic learning, everything, it really comes down to very practical steps. And this triangle is really the foundation of anything that we do. And it allows us to evaluate where we may need to give a little bit more to propel ourselves forward on the path that we want.
Awesome. Okay, Hell Yes Lifers, you heard it. Investment, consistency, and commitment. Those are Brenna's key words there. So keep those in mind, key areas. Well, Brenna, where on the internet can we find you?
Yep, you can find me at BrennaJoelle.com. It's BrennaJoelle.com.
Awesome. Awesome. So if you want to find out more about what Brenna's up to, check out that website, and we'll have links in the show notes, of course. Well, Brenna, thank you so much for joining me for this kind of experimental first episode of HYL Stories. Really loved your story. I'm sure a lot of our listeners got a lot out of that. I guess I'm going to go ahead and do what we normally do, which is to close out our time together. I usually like to say hell yes together on the count of three. Are you ready to do that?
I'm ready.
Okay. One, two, three.
Hell yes.
All right. Thanks for joining me, Brenna.
Thanks, Norman.
Thanks for joining me for this episode of the Hell Yes Life podcast. You can subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, or your favorite RSS feed. If you like the show, please leave a rating and review. And if you want to stay connected, visit hellyeslife.com and sign up for the e-newsletter and private Facebook group. Again, I'm Norman Bell. Thanks for joining me. Now let's get out there and live a Hell Yes Life.